Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The 60th game, played in 29 total games the last 2 years with the Warriors and Raptors, and more back-to-back titles. Oh, here Boucher flushes it against two Bucks. Finishing through contact, he'll go to the line to complete a three-point play.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Into AD with three, with two. Kuz to win it. Yes, sir! Kuzma, it's not official yet. .4 remaining.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
What's happening?
Oh, there he is.
What's happening?
That was, look, that is your calling card.
What's going on, man?
I can't say anything until you ask me what's happening.
What is happening? I'll tell you what's not happening. Big Ten football, that's not happening. And likely Pac-12 football, too. Yeah. But hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in, man.
It is a beautiful Tuesday. It's a bit of a bummer. I think we're awaiting Kevin Warren in the Big Ten. We're rolling on it right now, so we're going to bring the audio to you.
He just released a statement. Would you like me to read his statement?
I see it, but go ahead.
Okay, it says, "The mental and physical health and welfare of our student athletes has been at the center of every decision we have made regarding the ability to proceed forward."
So the Big Ten, just about 10 minutes ago, maybe 15, announced postponing of fall season for football. They are hoping, and this is the good part, they can play in the spring, maybe a revised schedule of 8 games or 9 games, whatever it ends up being. They're aiming for spring football. And look, there is no inside information from anybody on this. I'll just tell you, we all know it. Expect an announcement at some point, probably during our show, that the Pac-12 is going to follow suit as well.
Their meeting started at 11 a.m. today. It is still ongoing, according to a bunch of different college football scribes. They are still in the room deliberating. To have this bombshell drop in the middle of your meeting, though, is a pretty big deal. Yeah. And the Pac-12 and Big Ten have largely been in lockstep when it comes to scheduling, delaying the season. All the news reports over the weekend, those two conferences are pretty closely linked at the hip for a lot of different reasons. And I think that's why folks assume the Pac-12 will follow.
I think it's a smart move. The Pac-12 not go first. They're easily the most ridiculed conference of the Power Five. They're the laughing stock of the Power Five the last couple years. You let a giant go first, and then you follow their move. If you already have concluded, and my guess on this would be, say, they know what they want to do. They've known for probably a week, but you don't want to be first. Remember when the conference schedules were announced? Mm-hmm. Who was first?
The Big Ten was first.
Who followed them?
The Pac-12.
So the Pac-12 is just taking this, well, yeah, we concur with this, the conclusion you've gotten with your medical experts and whatnot, but we're not going to go first because we always get made fun of. Allow a big historic conference that has teams like Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Let them be the ones to go first. Everybody will react with their, this is a bad call, or this is a smart move. we'll just quietly slip right under and go, hey, we're following the Big Ten.
Yeah, we're going to do what they did. We're not going to be the dartboard, though. We don't want to be the first ones. So I think it's only a matter of time until we find that out this afternoon. It sucks, though. It's a bit expected, I think, for us, and I'm assuming a lot of fans out there that you just kind of were waiting for a news bomb like this to drop after the weekend that we had and the day that we had on Twitter yesterday. It doesn't change the fact that this absolutely sucks, and you want there to be a college football season in full, not having some conferences play, and who knows how it's going to look. The ACC has come out and said their doctors are saying we're okay. Greg Sankey did an interview this morning. He says their doctors are telling him it's okay. We're assuming the Pac-12 is going to drop out. We'll get an update on the Big 12 coming up at the Daily Ticker.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be weird, and it's going to suck to have some potentially playing and others not playing. I have always, though, been an advocate, and I think there are ways to make it work, and that is a spring football season. Now, the immediate pushback you're going to get, because the Big Ten says we're not canceling, we're postponing.
And I think that's really important.
I do too.
To highlight that they're not saying canceled, so they haven't given up on it yet.
Right. They want to find a way to do it in the spring. And I think a lot of people will say you can't have the seasons butt up together too close. If you're going to have something happen in the spring, you have to take out of your mind the idea of a regular college football season.
I don't think we're going to have a playoff. I think it's going to be a very modified, people play 8 to 10 games, conference only.
I don't even think you have to do that, to be honest with you. I think just to make up some TV revenue, and let's say the Big Ten and the Pac-12 both end up postponing, to schedule some form of round robin between the two conferences.
That'd be cool.
Where you do almost a hybrid of spring football. That's, you know, it matters. It gives fans something to watch. You fulfill some TV contracts and you allow guys to play a little bit. There's a lot of different, there's hurdles to jump with the NFL draft, with incoming freshmen, with roster sizes. Like, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but I feel like when you say spring football and the Big Ten makes that announcement, and we'll hear from the commissioner here in a little bit, that you automatically think they're going to play a 12-game season and then a conference title and then a bowl slate and then a college football playoff, that's going to last until next October. And that's just, I don't think that's what they're envisioning. They want to have some semblance of football this year. They don't feel like it's safe right now, so I'm glad at least they're holding on hope that it could happen in the spring.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren dirt read his opening statement. He continued with a statement. It just, the second part came out. He said, quote, "As time progressed, it became abundantly clear there was too much uncertainty regarding potential medical risk to allow student athletes to compete this fall," end quote. Is that him right there? Is that Kevin Warren?
I believe so, maybe. I don't know what Kevin Warren looks like. It says coming up an interview with Kevin Warren.
Oh, yeah, Jerry DiNardo. I'm sorry. I was going to say, Kevin Warren has a kid in college.
Who's this guy, man?
Kevin Warren's black. Oh, there we go.
There you go. I've never seen Kevin Warren before.
I didn't even know the Power Five had a black commissioner. That's awesome.
Dude, somebody brought up such a good point yesterday on Twitter. The old Big Ten commissioner, Jim Delaney.
Yes.
Has anybody ever retired at a better time than Jim Delaney?
No. He finished on top.
You finish on top. You get out before all of this stuff crumbles on you. Like, what did that guy know?
Let me ask you this.
I want stock tips from him.
I kind of felt this way yesterday. You know, Frost was doing a presser during our show. James Franklin sent out a statement. Ryan Day has made his comments public.
Yep.
Jim Harbaugh had a big release with stats saying we should play. You know, I'm not shocked by coaches fighting for the advocacy of the season to happen and the players to go out and have maybe their last year. But do you think that was the last hurrah and they knew it and they just didn't say it publicly yesterday?
Yeah, I think so. I think you saw a concerted push from the players, like they got from the coaches.
Yeah, they got wind the presidents were leaning no, which is why that report probably came out from multiple people.
Right.
And then they went out and they all did their media, you know, tours and statements and push. But to no avail, the doctors the Big Ten are working with, they've concluded they don't think it is safe for them.
Well, and that's the weird part. And we're going to have a lot of time to get into this today. But the ACC doctors, and I think it's important to dive into everything that they've said. It's not like it's, oh, yeah, sure, it's fine. No worries. Like, there is a lot more meat on that bone. But they are at least giving the clearance to go ahead as of now. The same thing exists in the SEC. That is not the case with the doctors that the Big Ten has consulted with and the Pac-12 has consulted with. So who's going to end up being right? Nobody knows, but you're listening to the medical experts that you want to, and that's where they're getting their information from.
Before we get to what's on tab, I want to add, I also think it's important because yesterday I saw James Franklin send out a statement, you know, kind of going with what one of his players was saying, and Joel Klatt said the heavy hitter's weighing in now. And I kind of chuckled at that. James Franklin is a heavy hitter in the college football world.
Sure.
none of those heavy hitters mattered. The presidents didn't give one iota about what Frost, Harbaugh, Day, Franklin, anybody in that conference had to say. They had their own conclusion. So when these type of things come up, and hopefully it never happens again in our lifetime, remember who the real heavy hitters are, because they ain't college football coaches.
How dare you disrespect Lovie Smith like that? Yeah. Didn't even label him a heavy hitter.
He shouldn't have shaved his beard. Otherwise, I put him in this category.
That's a valid point.
All right. It is a very, very busy show. I highly doubt we're going to get to everything, but let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
All right, What's on Tap is brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Kevin Warren's coming up at 12:15. Again, we're going to roll on that. And we'll probably bring that to you in the second or final hour of the show. We're not going to rush swag to cut up like five cuts.
No, we'll get to it eventually.
So we'll get to it today. Dale Hansen, he is a longtime news anchor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Works for the ABC affiliate. He is going to join us at 12:30 for the ticker. We're going to talk a little Mavericks. Actually, it's probably going to be all Big 12. Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
It is a big one for the Blazers tonight.
It is a big, important game at 3:30 today. But with the college football world kind of being turned upside down right now, we're probably going to focus on Big 12.
That's a conference right now that's in like a weird, I don't know where they stand. I know where the ACC, they want to push forward. The SEC wants to push forward. Clearly know where the Big 10's at and where the Pac-12 is heading. It's hard to get a read on the Big 12.
Yeah, you don't know what side they're leaning. So we'll talk with Dale Hansen at 12:30. The mail sack is at 2:15 today. So get those questions in at 503-250-TANIC. What's with you today?
I'm delayed on my responses, man.
It's like we're not doing a show across from each other.
It's like you're Cody Bellinger at the plate all of a sudden.
Oh.
Can't hit a damn thing.
Oh, he can right now? Is he struggling?
.175.
Really?
It's bad.
Wow.
So get those questions in.
You need Donovan Solano on your team. He's going to win an NL batting title, baby.
I did 2 Instagram posts today.
You did. Look at you. I did some tweets.
You
did
tweets?
I'm all over the socials.
Boss Man can't complain about this show.
I was up on the tweeters.
Swag got a Facebook post.
Yeah, we're dialed in.
All we're missing is a TikTok from the bathroom. We'll make it happen today. So we'll get to that. NFL true or false at 1:30 and a lot of college football and Blazer talk today. All right.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And I do have a local story that made national headlines.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if Swag's shaking his head like he knows.
A local story that made national headlines.
I was
headlines.
Wondering if that was going to last long enough to get to the plums. I don't think it is.
Well, you know, if it doesn't happen today, save it for
is
the plums.
Is it located in Central Oregon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's a cool story.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Cool. Don't Google it. Okay. All right. So that's what's on tap for today's show, brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company. We're going to continue with college football. If you're just turning on the dial, the Big Ten has postponed fall football. They're going to try to aim for spring football. We expect the Pac-12 to have an announcement sometime between now and the end of the show. So that's what's going on in college football. We're going to stay in college because you brought up something that I wanted to talk about at 12:15 today. Why is one saying this while the other is saying that? Is that kind of the crux of what we're dealing with here? More college football talk. Happy to be with you here on this Tuesday afternoon. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on radio.com and 1080 The Fan. All right, Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, is doing an interview right now on the Big Ten Network. We're rolling on that. We'll bring it to you later in the show. Dirt had a statement. I saw Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez made a statement. Basically said they're sad and disappointed. Health and concern of the athletes most important. I didn't see any pushback in the statement that I saw on TV.
Remember, it was reported this weekend the vote was 12-2, 12 in favor of canceling, postponing, 2 not in favor. It was Nebraska and I want to say
Ohio State.
No, I think it was
like, isn't Ohio State been pretty?
Might have been Ohio State. I know Nebraska was one of the two that voted to still have the season.
Look, this is going to be a little confusing for listeners. I was under the impression late yesterday that vote count was not accurate, that was not actually a vote that mattered to cancel or postpone. So I didn't know if the 12-2 thing was an accurate description of what happened.
I don't know if it was an official vote, obviously, because they didn't make the decision until today, but it might have been preliminary of just where are we at right now as we continue to discuss where the thing is going.
But one program that's, you know, they're trying to get back to the top of college football where they reign supreme for so long. is Nebraska. And Nebraska yesterday had Scott Frost do a Zoom press conference, and he basically just put his foot down and said, we're going to play no matter what.
Yep.
We don't care what the Big Ten has to say. We'd like to play a Big Ten schedule, but if we can't, we're going to play the season. We're going to prepare for it. By all accounts, it wasn't just Frost, by the way. Bill Moos and the president of Nebraska all reportedly are on the same page on this. So his messaging, I thought yesterday he'd get in trouble for that. It sounds like he got the MO, go out there and say this publicly. They have the Nebraska statement has just come out. Would you like to read that real quick?
Yeah, this is from the chancellor, the president, the athletic director, and the coach, a joint statement between the four of them. We are very disappointed in the decision by the Big Ten Conference to postpone the fall football season, as we have been and continue to be ready to play. Safety comes first based on the conversation with our medical experts. We continue to strongly believe the absolute safest place for our student athletes is within the rigorous safety protocols, testing procedures, and the structure and support provided by Husker Athletics. We will continue to consult with medical experts and evaluate the situation as it emerges. We hope it may be possible for our student athletes to have the opportunity to compete.
Yeah. So there you go.
Is a statement that says they're still going to try and play this year.
So there's Nebraska's statement. The Big Ten, maybe they'll play spring football. I don't know what Nebraska thinks they're going to do, but John Wilner was on with Primetime yesterday. He was asked about the realignment thing. Dennis Dodd told us that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, conference commissioners too. So the ACC commissioner and SEC commissioner both said, like,
we're not taking
teams. We got 14
teams,
man. Right. We can't have one. We already got our schedule set.
So they can stay optimistic in Lincoln, but it doesn't sound like they'll be able to play. I did want to bring this up. You know, I was reading about the MAC decision that came out over the weekend because I didn't see that when it first came out. Mm-hmm. And they spoke to their doctors, their medical experts for the conference. And their medical experts basically concluded, not feasible, doesn't make sense. There's a lot of testing needed. I don't know if the MAC can cover it. And told them that they didn't think they could play. That's why the MAC just up and decided to postpone/cancel.
Right.
The SEC, Greg Sankey's making the rounds now because he's trying to paint the other side of the picture here, right? It's all postponed, canceling. He's trying to be on the other side because they want to play. And if you told me the SEC plays this fall, and I don't know who they play, but if they play, I'm not going to be shocked. And we'll talk college football on the show. But he said this morning, the SEC medical doctors concluded it is safe to play. Now, I'm not saying the MAC doctors or the SEC doctors, like one is substantially better than the other. I do find that part of the problem and the reason that we're here in college football. How a conference like the MAC can conclude it's not safe and a conference like the SEC concludes that it is. I think a lot of people may fill in the blanks as to how that happened, but this kind of is the crux of what they're dealing with. You have conferences that they're not on the same page on their medical experts.
Right. That I think it highlights the situation and predicament we're in the country right now, where it's just hard to get a consensus on how to handle this thing. It's the first time we've dealt with something like this in 100 years at this level. Ultimately, all you can ask for these people of power who are dealing with the lives of young 18 to 22-year-old student-athletes is listen to the medical experts that you trust and believe in and follow their advice. And so it sounds like the Big Ten is doing that. The Pac-12 will likely do it. And that's what the SEC is doing. If their doctors are telling them that we can go forward, and I want to make sure that's pointed out, that it's not like, hey, you can go play a 10-game season perfectly fine. His quote, I believe, was our medical advisory group has said, yes, we can continue to go forward.
Yeah.
So we're not making a decision right now.
But it's a way to say it can happen,
yes,
or we're going to wait 3 to 4 weeks, right? Which
right.
is what I expect the SEC, the ACC, and maybe even the Big 12 to do is once the Big 10 and the Pac-12 come out today, I would expect announcements from one of those conferences, if not all three, that say we respect those decisions. We're going to wait blank amount of weeks before we conclude what we want to do.
Right. They're just not going to make a decision right now. And Cameron Wolf is the one who is the doctor for the ACC. I don't know if it's a he or she, but
Dr. Cameron Wolf.
They did an interview and they were asked about why they're going to be able to play because they're also saying it's okay to handle. They said, quote, we believe we can mitigate it down to a level that makes everyone safe. Can we safely have two teams on the same field? I would say yes, but it will be tough. Yes. Will it be expensive and hard and lots of work? For sure. But I do believe you can sufficiently mitigate the risk of bringing COVID onto the football field or into the training room at the level that's no different as living as a student on campus. They continued to say, the reality is we have to accept a little bit of the COVID risk is going to be a part of it. So they're getting a green light as of now, but saying you're clearly going to have to deal with it at some point.
So is it easy to conclude that just college is the standalone toughest one, Or do you think that the leaders of these conferences in college football, because I'll throw Mark Emmert in there too, they just failed. They failed to come up with a plan. They failed to execute how they could get through a season during COVID. Or was this just an impossible ask, given that they're on a campus with anywhere between 15 to 40,000 students or more than that?
Yeah, I think ultimately it is a very difficult thing to figure out. And we have highlighted that from day one of all the different hurdles you got to jump through. Local authorities, state authorities, conferences, presidents, play. It's just there's a lot that you have to navigate through. I don't believe that the NCAA did themselves any favor by taking the 50 states, 50 different approach route to this.
That was the most coward way out of helping during a much needed time. To do that, to say that, it's up to each institution.
Every school, every conference, come up with your own decision.
What do you do to earn any money?
Right. That,
come on, man.
Again, highlights the issue. Also, on top of that, the fact that we're dealing with this on August 11th. Somebody had a tweet this morning or last night that said it's like a college student staying up all night to finish a term paper.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was like, yeah, that kind of is what it feels like. Right. This, the heart issue that we've been discussing now has been in the news for weeks. We just talked about it a week or two ago because there's a Red Sox pitcher that it has to sit out the rest of the year because he's suffering from it. That's not new information. Why did we just spend an entire week and a half releasing new schedules for the upcoming year, and then 5 days later we're like, when did the Big Ten release their schedule? That was like just last week.
It was a week. I just saw their thing. They sent out a statement, Ohio State, and said, we're disappointed. You sent out a conference schedule last week.
And now 5 days later, you're canceling the season. There's not that much that has changed. It is very strange. I feel like the NCAA would have been better served to have a unified message. Let's all come together, have somebody that spearheads the effort and says, okay, here are our protocols. Here's our plan. This is what the schedule is going to look like. Here are our panel of doctors that represent every area of the country and every conference, and let's get their input and let's make a joint decision and move forward as one entity together. To go separate ways, I think it's a mistake. And also, I've seen people say it, and I think it's 100% valid. I hope, ultimately, that there ends up being some form of Q&A and panel with all of these doctors involved. Because if you have two conferences that are saying doctors say it's not safe and two conferences saying doctors say it is safe,
I would love to watch that.
Give me the Q&A. Yeah. What reasoning? Have them have a debate back and forth. I think the fans deserve something like that.
Somebody says the Big Ten releasing a schedule was similar to my dad telling me that if I got straight A's, he would take me to the Super Bowl. Huge tease, but I knew it wasn't happening.
This ain't happening, Dad. Come on, man.
Oh, man, a lot going on in college football. The Big Ten has announced that they're going to postpone fall football. They're going to hopefully try to aim for the spring. We expect the Pac-12 to have a similar announcement at some point during the show. When that happens, we'll cut right in and we'll talk about it. You can share your thoughts at 503-250-1080, as there's a lot of moving parts with this. But what's the Big 12 doing? The SEC appears to want to go on. The ACC appears to want to go on. But the Big Ten and the Pac-12 appear to want to be punting right now. Where's the Big 12? Are they on the SEC side or the Big Ten Pac-12 side? We'll talk with Dale Hansen, longtime news anchor in Dallas-Fort Worth. He's going to join us next to give us his thoughts on where the Big 12 might be on this big decision looming in college football. The Daily Ticker is next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, longtime legendary news anchor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Dale Hansen for WFAA ABC affiliate over there, is our guest here on the Daily Ticker. We talked about the Big Ten postponing their season potentially to spring. The Pac-12 probably going to follow suit. But the most unknown to me in the Power 5 is the Big 12. We've heard rumblings. They lean one side. They lean the other. I don't know what to make of it. So Dale Hansen's our guest here on the Daily Ticker. Dale, first of all, thank you for joining us today. I hope everything's going well for you over there in Dallas. What is your read on the Big 12 as of now?
Well, I would think that they would have to follow suit. But you have to understand, this is Texas and this is the South. So we don't really like to consider science very much in anything that we do, especially the way almost all of the southern governors have handled the coronavirus. So I do. I still think it's a 50-50 split right now. I would think they have to follow suit, the Big Ten, and certainly if the Pac-12 joins in. But Nothing surprises me with what Southern governors and Southern officials come up with.
Now, what is your reaction? I mean, that bombshell coming down, I think most of us were expecting it to happen with the Big Ten. And as you mentioned, the Pac-12 likely following suit here in the next hour or so. But just your reaction, man, it's a pretty remarkable news day of the Big Ten not playing football in the upcoming season. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a huge story, obviously, and I'm disappointed. I think like any college football fan, I love college football. I just think it's an outstanding game. But I do think it's the right decision. I'm one of those on the side of thinking that we've never handled this coronavirus situation correctly at all. That's been the biggest problem, is that here we are 5 months into this and we're still debating about whether it's a serious issue or not. And that's been the problem. We've never had a national plan. We've never attacked it the way so many other countries have. But I just don't think there's any question that they couldn't play the games. I mean, I get it that the younger players are in great shape and that, you know, it doesn't appear to be as serious for younger people. But we still don't know that yet either. But the fact that so many other people can be impacted by the spread of the virus is, I think, a huge problem. And as much as I hate it, as you say, I do think it was expected, and I do think it's the right decision.
Yeah. Dale Hansen is our guest here on the Daily Ticker, longtime news anchor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, Texas football it's legendary, it's iconic, it's one of the blue bloods of the sport. They haven't had quite the success since they won that title years ago. They came close, I think, in 2009, but since then, not quite what people had the standards for. Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, however, has had a great run the last few years. He's been very outspoken about it. He was one of the coaches in the Big 12, and being in that state is controversial enough to say what he said, and that was, we can't rush kids back. Let's wait, let's wait, let's wait. Do you think Oklahoma is kind of the swinging you-know-what of the Big 12, or is that still Texas to you?
No. It's one advantage of being in North Texas, and we have about as many Oklahoma fans following our broadcast as we do Texas fans, quite honestly. And you know, at the same time, we're such a big state, and you know, with so many different schools, people around the country. Every time I do interviews like with you guys, Brandon and Andy, is that there's always this Texas reference to UT, and it's really not that way here. I mean, we have you know, Texas Tech and Texas A&M and Baylor's and TCU have taken on a bit of a national identity lately. So it's not quite as strong as it is like, you know, like where I come from in Nebraska or something, where, you know, the one university school was the end all be all. But yeah, I like Lincoln Riley a great deal. I like their football program. I like the way they play. And the fact that I do think he's handled it a little bit better than what we're hearing from a lot of the Texas coaches is somewhat impressive to me as well. But now Oklahoma's kind of driving the whole thing, and Tom Herman in Texas are playing catch up. They do appear to be making some improvements, but a lot of people thought when Tom Herman came in, it was back to the to the glory days, and that just hasn't developed.
Yeah, it feels like, Dale, the next debate we're going to head to, if we continue to get these decisions from conferences, is will a spring football season work? Because the Big Ten didn't cancel, they postponed, and they're going to be hopeful for a spring football season. The viability of that, when I say spring football, how does that work in your mind, or does it work?
Well, spring football, when it's like the XFL, doesn't work for me, and I've never been a big fan of that. But I do think college football would work. I mean, I really do. I think one, college football is just that big, and then because of all the outside influences of having to postpone, I think would make it very doable. I think if indeed it's possible, and we get the virus under control, where it's safer for players to play. I think on a one-time deal, I think it absolutely would work. I wouldn't want to see it on a regular basis. And like I said, I don't like the spring pro football leagues have never appealed to me much. But, you start up in January, February, March. Yeah, I could go with a little college football right then, and I think most of the country could.
Dale, forgive me for not knowing. I could have looked this up and done some research, but sometimes I'm a lazy radio host. How are you guys?
Why bother?
how are you guys dealing with it? I know you had a big flare up not too long ago. Maybe you're still dealing with it, but it also seemed like you were still having the governor of Texas come out and say they expect to have 30,000 people at a football game come fall. Where are you guys at as a state right now, and in general, just having that idea of putting thousands of people at a football game?
Well, that's been the problem from the get-go. I mean, I think our state leadership has been incredibly incompetent, and I've said so on the air many times. I've done commentaries about it. You might have heard the fantastic quote of our lieutenant governor, who said a couple of months ago that if old people have to die, so be it. The economy is more important. And I said on the air, hey, good, you first. Get to the head of the line. And everybody was like, oh, my God, how is it possible that an old-fashioned sportscaster could make jokes about the lieutenant governor on the air? And I said, well, one, I haven't been around that long, and two, he is that stupid, so it's relatively easy for me to do. But yeah, I mean, it's been a big problem. I mean, we've had no competent leadership in the state of Texas from the beginning of this thing. And you remember the story where the beauty salon operator just tore up the summons about shutting down her beauty salon, and then the governor backed down because she violated his own order, and then he basically apologized to her for asking her to follow his order. I mean, that's the kind of leadership we've had in Texas, and I think it's been an embarrassment. I mean, it's been an absolute embarrassment. We've had a spike in cases. It does seem to be slowing down a little bit again. Mm-hmm. because the governor has tried to get people to wear masks and to cut back on the social mingling, and the bars have been closed and that kind of thing. But it's been hit and miss from the beginning. Yeah. Absolutely hit and miss from the beginning. And it's a disgrace. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, it's hard to get the horse back in the barn once the doors are already open. On a brighter note, I want to ask you, Dale, mm-hmm. on a more positive note, the NBA bubble is going fantastic. And we got a showdown tonight between the Blazers and the Mavericks. How are people down there feeling about Dallas? I mean, it's just been incredible to watch Luka lately. And your thoughts on that game today?
Yeah, well, again, it depends on whether or not they want to play. I hate the fact that the NBA decides yesterday, for example, with the Utah game, that Luka Doncic is not going to play, Porzingis is not going to play. I mean, my guys, they're playing such a short season here. I mean, such a short schedule, and these young guys can't play. I mean, did Michael Jordan ever sit out a game? Did Jerry West sit out a game? Did Bob Cousy sit out a game, for goodness sakes? I mean, it drives me nuts. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. As excited as you're going to get about a basketball game, you have to check and see if the better players are going to play. But assuming they do, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm telling you, this Doncic kid is incredible. I mean, he is absolutely incredible. They make the trade for Porzingis, and what was so funny, he turned in like to our Bryson DeChambeau health guy. He pops on about 30 pounds in 1 year's time. And I hope he did it legally and ethically and everything. But, I mean, all he had to do was put a straw hat on that guy, and there wouldn't have been a crow within 100 yards of him. But now he looks like a full-blown, filled-out NBA-type player. And I think he's developing into a big force, too. But the Mavericks probably need one more guy. And Portland's struggling a little bit, but the key point you make is that bubble system. But unfortunately, I think that's what it takes.
Yeah,
a bubble system where they lock him down, and then you can have some TV entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the NFL schedule of flying around the country is going to work. Baseball's been hanging on, but they've had problems. But I don't know. I said this the other day. I think the NFL has to be watching every baseball game in America to see if Major League Baseball can pull this off. Mm-hmm. And if Major League Baseball can pull it off, then maybe the NFL can pull it off. But certainly the NBA has, and it's been fun. I mean, TV sports work. The great Tex Schramm, the former Cowboys president years ago, I'll never forget this, we were talking about how good the TV production of a football game is. And he, I'll never forget, we were in California, and he told me one night his biggest concern was that the game would turn into a studio sport, that the games were so good on TV that people aren't going to pay a lot of money to sit in the upper deck of the end zone to watch an NFL football game. And I find it, now, I don't understand why people go to games. I mean, I really don't. I'm watching the NBA games, and you go to a Mavericks game, and the Mavericks have a beautiful facility, but you're so far away, you can't hardly see the players.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to see the replays. You don't get to see the controversial calls, et cetera. I don't know. I think we might be creating a system where people are going to wake up and say, I don't want to stand in line for the bathroom, and I don't want to pay $14 for a hamburger anymore. And then I think the sport could be in trouble. But for right now, I love watching it, and I'm looking forward to watching the Mavericks in Portland today.
Yeah, yeah, Dale, you just can't beat being shirtless in basketball shorts with a beer on the couch watching the game versus being way up top and not seeing anything.
Yeah, and when you're as old as I am, there's no waiting in line at the bathroom, and that's incredibly important.
All right, we'll get you out of here with this, Dale, because we appreciate whenever we can get you on the show. You're one of our favorites over there in the Midwest. Let me get you out of here with this. What is your gut prediction of what the Big 12 will decide? Will they follow whatever the SEC does, or do you think they will conclude if two conferences are postponing and trying for spring, they go in on that idea?
Well, and again, it's only a bit of an educated guess, but I think they'll shut it down. I think it definitely if the Pac-12 follows suit. I mean, and I don't think for a moment that the Big Ten would have made this decision and been out there all by themselves. And I do understand that players and coaches want to play and all that. I get that. But yeah, my pick is, if you're forcing me to pick one, is that we're not going to see college football until at least January. And I think it might be a little bit iffy even then. But I think the Pac-12 will follow suit. And I think, unfortunately, all of them will have to. And I do think it's the right decision. As much as that makes me unpopular in Texas with a lot of people, I still think it's the right decision. It's incredibly unfortunate. But I just don't think you can put the virus in full-blown contamination mode by, you know, having guys banging around on one another playing football. And if I thought for a moment that 19 and 20 year old kids would follow all the rules, I'd feel better about it. Mm-hmm. But I sure as hell didn't when I was 19 and 20, and I doubt very seriously that most of these kids would either.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our favorites, Dale Hansen, WFAA ABC affiliate over there, longtime Dallas Fort Worth anchor. He's great. Find him on YouTube, find him on Twitter. He's one of our faves. Dale, thanks so much for hopping on with us in Portland and talking a little Mavericks and mostly college football, man.
It's my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
All right, there we go. The great Dale Hansen from Dallas, Texas, says if he's forced to pick, he thinks the Big 12, presuming the Pac-12 follows the Big 10 model, the Big 12 will probably look to do something similar. Punt and either try for spring or it just won't be feasible for them.
Yeah, I think ultimately if you're going to be a conference that pushes forward, the question that first comes to my mind is how long will you hang on for and what happens? What are your line in the sand things that can't happen? How many players have to test positive? The quarantine protocols if you come into contact with it? How many games do you have to miss? You're going to end up in some form or another being like baseball where you're going to have some teams that are only playing like two games and then shutting it down for a month and a half. That's my next question, but we'll find out what the Pac-12 is going to do here in about 45 minutes.
All right. Like. Coming up next, we'll continue with college. The rampant speculation of this happening, does it make any sense? One school continuing to push the we want to go play no matter what. We got a lot more on this college football topic. You can share your thoughts, 503-250-1080. The Pac-12 has a webinar at 1:30, so sometime 1:30 or later, expect the big announcement of what the Pac-12 is planning to do. We're back with more here on 1080 The Fan.
This
All right, welcome back in. 12:51 here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. I want to add this. Ohio State, they sent out their statement, which we referenced. This is a pretty important part. So what you've heard a lot in the last couple days is probably the coaches and even some pundits who have come out and said, you know, the kids are safer at school than they are going back at home. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's left me confused by that, and I didn't say this yesterday, I forgot. Are they presuming that students are just not going to do school anymore and they're just going to head back home if there's no season? I've always kind of been unsure about that. It would actually make more sense to me that even if you don't have a season in the fall and you aim for spring, but that doesn't happen, either way, you're advocating them staying on campus, going to school, and staying within your facility. You said that yesterday, and
yeah,
I think that's an important part. Like, these coaches are making it sound like it's either a football season or they're going home and dying of COVID.
Right.
Right? And I think that's always been a bit extreme.
Don't forget getting depressed and becoming drug dealers as well.
That too. Ohio State added this in their release. All of the student-athletes on scholarship will remain on scholarship. COVID-19 testing by the Department of Athletics and quarantine isolation protocols will continue for student-athletes. Access to team facilities, locker rooms, sports performance, medical training, nutrition areas will be available under the current health and safety protocols. Mm-hmm. Tutoring, scheduling, additional services provided through the Student Athlete Support Services Office are ongoing, and comprehensive mental health services will continue for all student athletes through the athletic department staff at its Sports Psychology and Wellness Services Department. So while many coaches are presumably unhappy and not big fans of what's happening today, their whole argument of being safer on campus, it appears to still hold water because the student athletes will still have full access to everything. So even if there's no season, the student athletes have everything you could possibly need to be quote unquote safe.
Yeah, I think that was the first thing that popped into my mind yesterday. I didn't quite understand why it was posed to us as a this or that. Either there is a season or there's not, and everybody's going to go home and it's going to be a free-for-all. These college coaches love to have their players on campus. They want to continue their nutrition programs, their workout programs. You're eventually going to have an influx of new freshmen at some point in this process, because you got high school football getting canceled all over the country, and a lot of guys, including some here locally, are saying, you know what, I'm on pace to graduate early. I'm going to go report and get into college as soon as I possibly can. Maybe that's December, January, whenever it might be. They're going to want to keep their hands on these kids and make sure that they continue to develop them as student athletes, especially if there ends up being a spring football season in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's a round robin, whether it's just normal spring, or whether it's a full season, you know they're going to try and push to get something going coming up in the next couple of months. So to continue to stay in shape, to continue to work out, I think is going to be vitally important for all these college coaches. I have always agreed with the narrative that it is safer for these kids for the most part on campus. I've never disagreed with that. I question, is it safe for them to travel around the country and play college football games against kids from other universities? But if you're just talking about them being in the locker room, or not necessarily in the locker room, but just around the health and safety protocols that exist in the athletic departments, I'm all for it, and it sounds like they're all going to do that.
And right on cue, Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports and Brett McMurphy of the Stadium they're both reporting the Pac-12 is indeed going to cancel fall football season. The league will attempt to play in the spring.
Exact same thing as the Big Ten.
So, yeah, I mean, it's breaking news because it just came across the wire, but not breaking news in the sense of it catching everybody off guard. I think, weren't we all kind of expecting this? Wasn't that the universal, that's going to happen? Is there anybody out there shocked by these developments? I don't think there is.
Not if you've been paying attention to what started Sunday night.
Right. Yeah. When the MAC got going, then the Big Ten stuff started trickling
out.
Mountain West.
And then it seemed inevitable. Yeah. And then the Big Ten news that started popping yesterday. And then you're like, okay, if the Big Ten's out, then the Pac-12 will be out.
One source told Brett McMurphy, we're done.
We're done. We're done here.
So, Duck fans, Beaver fans, Husky fans, Cougar fans, sorry to report, football in the fall has been canceled for the Pac-12. They're aiming for spring now, which, stay optimistic, because maybe now we're going to have a spring season. I know there's other people out there that say you can't play football two times in a year. I would argue you already do. The national championship game doesn't happen until mid to late January. Those teams have to play twice a year. It's not ideal. This is kind of just what COVID does, though. You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to change things up and be a little different. Who knows if it's even spring? I mean, by the end of this year, there's a better hold. Fingers crossed on that. And by January, February, maybe you look at a February start date and you start it much earlier in the start of 2021. But you kind of wrap it up at the beginning of spring with a shortened or makeshift-like season. We'll have more on this coming up. Hour two is locked and loaded. We still haven't gotten any Blazer stuff. We'll do that. They got a big one today against Dallas at 3:30. Luka and Kristaps Porzingis are both going to play. They sat out yesterday in that Dallas Jazz game, so it's a pretty big one. And the last I had checked before we turned to Kevin Warren, the Houston Rockets were getting beat up pretty bad by the San Antonio Spurs. The Rockets are not playing James Harden or Eric Gordon. So hour two is straight ahead. We'll continue on. The Pac-12 has announced, they haven't officially announced, but it's being reported by two very credible reporters that they are going to punt on fall football and aim for the spring. What are your thoughts on that? And let's talk about the leadership element of this as well. As a lot of people point fingers at media, what about the leaders, the people in charge of all this? We'll get to that. Hour two, straight ahead. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.